Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, Chris, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
All right, perfect. All right, so if I had to show you how I got into Facebook Live, I really can't. I'm in there and people are actually responding. Oh, you're in there too, right?
I'm watching on YouTube.
Yeah, you're watching me on YouTube and you're talking to me on Blog Talk, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the only thing is you have to tell people that when they call in to Blog Talk to turn the volume down on YouTube so they don't get feedback.
Right. So you can hear me on hey Reggie, everyone, Mr. Really Dope. Can you hear Chris? Can you hear Chris on this? Chris, tell him you're here.
Yo, what's going on, Reg? Yo, Reg, you there?
Yeah, I guess. You can hear him. Is it loud or is it faint? Well, that means I can make this work. Oh, that's hot.
Yeah, this is what I was telling you.
All right, so I can make this work. Okay, so tomorrow we're going to have a conversation that no one wants to have. It's going to be a conversation about the power and as much power as brothers can have in this country and this world. It's just not playing out. So tomorrow I want to talk about it. I want everyone to come in. I'm going to be on YouTube and I'm going to be on Blog Talk. So we'll be able to do the same thing just like we're doing now. So you'll be able to do the live chat. I'm going to set it up tomorrow at 7 o'clock to do just like this. And man, we're going to talk through. I've got some big boys coming through. Ramil is coming through and I want to see if I can get some other guys to come through.
Okay. Thank you. You might be able to get Ramil to for his video that everything go up if you go through if you open up another window and you do Google Hangouts.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Then everybody.
So
can,
then it'll
show
be,
their video
it'll
and everything.
Be Ramil's group and mine at the same time.
Yeah.
And Blog Talk. Okay. Also want to see if Obsidian, and you probably heard of Kevin Samuels.
That's the brother that wears the suits and with the glasses?
Exactly.
Oh, my God. He did a video, man. I guess it was some fat black chick who called in, and she said she dates high-value men, right? And she said, she said she's overweight. And so he asked her how tall she is. And she told her her height. And then he asked her how much she weighed. And she said, well, we ain't going on that. When he cussed her out, man, I was dying laughing. Kid. I was filling up my chair, man.
I saw that live. I saw him when he did that live. I know exactly which show you're talking about. And it's funny. When some of these chicks say that they're an 8 on a scale of 1 to 10 and they go on a cam and they're 4 or 5.
Yeah. They get some stuff. And I seriously doubt that chick was getting, she's 5'3 and she's overweight. I seriously doubt she's getting guys who make $200,000 to date her.
Exactly. So, right. She said she was up to 270, man. So, and she's 5'6. And right now she's down to, I think, 230, something like that. No, she said she was down to 160. You're right. Her height was 270. Yeah, Kevin is definitely something else. I started this conversation a little bit on Ramil. He was talking about. He was asking, "Do black men want to win?" And Fantastic. I don't know if you guys know Mr. Fantastic.
I know Mr. Fantastic.
He's been pushing the envelope. So some people have been getting upset because he had a white guy on there. And people were saying the white dude was insulting and blah, blah, blah. So we got into this whole thing about, do black men really
even
show power?
That's a show that Tommy was talking about. Because they invited, I guess they invited Tommy Sotomayor on the next day to talk about that. And Tommy sort of clowned him. He said, y'all stupid. He said, that white boy can't go anywhere else on YouTube and get anybody to pay attention to him. But yet, y'all let him come into your platform and knock you all off your soapbox. They said, you could have just ended the show and just kicked him off and been done. But he sat there and made you all look stupid.
But they said Fantastic handled him. That and Ramil said he listened to the show and the guy really didn't insult anyone. He talked about IQ, but I think what they were pissed off is he said he can get black chicks if he wants, like he has access to them. And I think they were just triggered by that. And,
but he's telling the truth. Black women throw themselves at white men.
Exactly. There was, I think, a guy named Epic on a Fantastic Show, and he said he was angry because the guy said he has access to black women. I said, so what's wrong with that? Like, what did he say wrong? It's not a lie.
Yeah, he's telling the truth. I know some busted ass white dudes that can pull five chicks that I can pull, because they want white men. Yeah, I mean, let's be real, they would rather be with a white man than be with a black man.
Well, did you see that there are some black chicks who go to sperm bank to get white sperm? Did you see that?
Yeah, there's one white guy, I forget his name, but there's like 22, he's got like 22 babies, because they went to the sperm bank and requested his sperm.
Hey, Reg, I'm getting ready to put the number in, Reggie.
Oh, yeah, in the description box, you can put the number for the show, and like right there, and it says the Board of Veteran CEOs. Right there under there, you can put the link to the blog talk so you can call in and all that. Tomorrow.
Where it says Board of Veteran CEOs, I don't see.
Yeah, in
that.
the description box.
Oh, in the description box. Put it there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That way, if anybody comes joining in the chat, they can see the number right there, and then they
all
can
right.
call in.
All right. Hey, Charlie, Reggie said hello. I don't know if you saw that. All right, so I'll put that in the description. That'll handle that. All right, so
and you might want to make a couple mods too, just in case. Because it never fails, you're gonna have one or two jackasses in the chat.
Oh, so yeah, I did see that. All right, so I can make you one. I can take care of that. I wanted to talk to you about that before I did that. But yeah, so I'll do that. I'll take care of that. And I'm glad this YouTube doesn't have any limits on how many lives you can do. You can just keep doing these suckers.
Yeah. And also, you know, now to get your money, put your advertising, your AdSense at the beginning and the end of your videos.
Well, you know what? Oh, well, Reg dropped a super chat. So,
put your Cash App link in the description box too. You don't want to get super chat because super chat, I think they take like, I want to say like 35% of that.
Okay.
It takes a really long time to get your super chat check. Whereas if they do a Cash App and PayPal, that's like instant.
Right. Yeah. Reg sent me a super chat and he sent me a PayPal. So thanks a lot, Reg. I thought you were going to call in, Reggie.
Reg, I see you had to, what happened to your other account, Reg? You got put in Facebook jail?
Oh, yeah, he. Hey, hold one second. I've got something brewing. Let
Yeah, I come out in
let's see. Oh, let's see if I can do the moderator. Let's see. How do you do this? Man, I've been playing with this thing all day.
Yeah, I caught the tail end of that Ramil stream, and they get pissed off at him, but you know, Ramil tells the truth. Most of these black men, they don't want to win. They don't.
Yeah, see, I want to talk about what's really behind that, man.
You know, it's crazy because I can't figure it out. You know, I did something simple like the year before last. I tried to set up just a hunting trip. You know, we all get together, we go camping, you know, we go out in the woods and we hunt like men supposed to do. You know what I mean? We hunt for,
right.
You know, just a weekend and, you know, camp out, you know, you fellowship, you network and all that. And, you know, I couldn't get one single person to sign up. And the excuses came out, you know, galore. I ain't got the time. But, you know, then you see them on their Facebook talking about they're going to the club and this and that. You know, I don't have the money to buy that gun and to buy, you know, camo stuff. And then you see them buying like $200 Jordans and stuff like that. And I'm like, well, fool, there's your rifle right there. And if you buy a rifle is actually useful. You can do something with it. You can hunt for
exactly.
food with it. You can't do shit with a pair of Jordans, but try to get people not to step on them.
So,
yeah.
Hey, Chris, channel you are music. What's,
say again?
I'm looking at for
channel?
Moderator. Yeah, for it says paste channel URL of a user to add as a moderator.
Hang on just a second. My channel URL.
Oh, here we go.
Hey, okay, can you hear me?
Hey, Reg, you in there? We got you in there, Reggie.
Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Okay, cool.
So I'm running two things simultaneously. This is all new for me.
I'm looking at you on YouTube, but I'm talking to you through the podcast. So, but you can hear me, though, right?
Oh, I can hear you loud.
This is the same way.
Yeah.
This is the same way that all other shows are set up on YouTube. You just don't. Like, they just didn't tell you that that's what they do.
Well, the other part is, and I need to figure this out, how do you bring in more than one person into YouTube?
You mean like have their video showing too?
Right, because that's what I, with Ramil, it was like 10 of us in there at the same time.
Yeah, I think... Yeah, you'll have to ask them about that, but I thought they were doing Google Hangouts.
Oh, maybe that's
then,
what
but I could be wrong.
All right. I'm turning into an air traffic controller now, and I've got laptop, desktop, iPad. Man, I never thought I would have all this stuff sitting in front of me. Unbelievable.
So you do hear me, Ted, right?
Oh yeah, man. I hear you. You're clear, perfectly clear. And your background is no noise at all.
Oh well.
You have no background noise.
Huh? Oh Lord.
What? You have no background noise, man.
Oh,
uh-huh.
Yeah. Hey, Chris is right. Hey, what that white boy said, all he did was tell the truth. That's all.
And a bunch of dudes were upset because he told the truth.
Hey, check this out. The truth is the truth. It's going to stand on its own.
Exactly. So, I went to Mr. Fantastic show, and a guy, he said he was upset because the white dude said he had access to plenty of black women. And I said, what's wrong with that? And he said, oh, I can't explain. If you don't understand that, man, you don't. Yeah, he was. I think that's a big problem, man. Brothers get triggered way too quickly.
Yeah, but the thing about it is the pussy belongs to her. For her to give to whoever she wants to. Just like our chocolate God rods belong to us. Hey, we can dish it out to whoever we want to.
Exactly. The same with our resources. Same thing.
Correct.
So it's no different. So you can't be upset because she had sex with someone and you don't like them. That's not your business.
And it's nothing new.
Like I said, they all community property. They all belong to the street. They can do whatever the hell they want to. I ain't trying to own them or their box.
And it's just your turn, right?
That's right. That's right. It's never yours. It's just your turn. what they should have said was the reason why that white boy is going to get all those black women is because white women don't want them. That's the only time white boys turn to black women. Black women are their first choice.
That's true.
But they know when they strike out with white women that they can always break glass in case of emergency. He's gone. He stepped away from the computer.
Hey, Ted.
Ted stepped away from the computer.
I did call in.
Ted stepped away from the computer.
Did I miss something?
No. I'm just telling you, stepped away.
Okay, Ted.
What's that?
Ted.
Yes, sir.
I can hear Chris, but I can hear Chris talking, but I can't hear myself talking.
That's good. That's because you don't have your computer on in the background, so that's perfect.
Yeah, you're not supposed to hear yourself. Yeah, if you were hearing yourself, you'd have feedback.
Okay, no problem.
Yeah, you can hear Chris and I. So you can hear both of us on your phone, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, that's cool.
Oh yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, hey, I wanted to mention that's a cool dude that's on your podcast right now, Mr. Charles Merchant. So.
Charles, are you the one who makes comments on my videos, Charles? Because I get quite a few comments from someone named Charles. He's like the first one to comment on the video today. Same guy? Of course.
Thank you, Charles.
No, he just responded. So, hey, thanks a lot, man. Love your comments. No question you're a deep-thinking brother, so appreciate the comments all the time. All the time. Chris, you're saying all I have to do is go into Google Docs and I could actually link up with more than one. Now, okay, so when Ramil and Mr. Fantastic did their show, I don't know if it was Google Docs. No, you know what they do?
What's that?
All right. Let's see if this works. They actually put a link of the show.
Because you have to have a private. I think that's what I think they do Google Hangouts, because you have to have the link to their Google Hangout to join.
No. I just put a link, and I don't know if this is gonna work, but I just put a link in the chat. You see it?
Yeah, I just clicked on it.
All right, let's see.
I'm on my phone, so I may not be able to go to the mobile phone.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because that's what they always do. If you want to go into the show, you click on the link, and it takes you in.
Okay. Okay, maybe that's what they do.
Better light. Out of the dimness. And I'm eating, so my day is way behind.
You get off work late?
Hey, Rick. I've just been playing with this thing. I haven't even been out. I wanted to get outside. It was like 95. I love when it's hot. I never made it out.
You one of those weird black people that like hot weather.
Oh, man. That's my best.
No, anything above 80, I'm 85. I'm in. It's actually cool. Hey. It's actually cool down here. It was pretty much about 85 and overcast today, so it's pretty nice weather here.
Ah, okay. Hey, Charles, you're right, man. A lot of guys don't want to have the conversations, and you cannot solve anything if you can't talk about it. So, and I think a lot of the young guys are getting hungrier, not only to understand what's really going on. They want to do something about it.
Well, they're starting to see that they're becoming victims of this gynocentrism, and they're trying to figure ways to maneuver around it. So they realize that they're going to have to listen to us, because mama ain't telling them right. You know, mama's just subjecting them to it. Like my own nephew. You know, when. You know, he supposedly got a girl pregnant. I begged him and begged him and begged him. He's like, look, when she has that baby, get you a DNA test at birth. My mother and my sister told him. So when they called me from the hospital, you know, they called me, you know, first of all, as if I cared. I really didn't give a shit, you know. So they called me and they said, congratulations. I said, congratulations. What the fuck are you congratulating me for? Your nephew just had a little girl. I said, why the fuck do you think I care? Number one. And number two, did you tell me to get a DNA test? Oh, no, that baby looked just like him. I'm like, the baby is like minutes old. It doesn't look like anybody.
Exactly.
And neither his mother nor nor my mother told him that. So when I talked to him, he just repeated the same thing. Oh, no, that's me. That baby looked just like me. I said, you don't know that. I said, you know how many men say that? And then, you know, 3, 5 years, 6 years, you know, some even 21 years down the road find out that that's not their kid.
Yep. And then paying child support.
I mean, he's starting to now listen to me and watch my stuff on Instagram. And, you know, he hasn't swallowed the red pill yet, but he's got it in his mouth. The only bad thing about it is he lives with one of these beasties, as I call them, these black women that, like, boss him around. And so I told him, tell her, you know, I said, you know, because she, you know, it's a rumor that she got upset at him one day and she tried to hit him with her car. So I told him to go tell her. I said, look, I said, I know you're not going to be truthful with me. I said, but you tell that girlfriend of yours that the next time she gets upset, she better learn to check her emotions. I said, because if she hits you with her car, if she stabs you, if she does anything to you, I said, you let her know that I'm going to go, if she does something to you, I'm going to go take 5 of her family members, and I'm going to start with her mother. I said, I don't give a shit. I said, I'm close to death. I said, I'm 40 years old. I said, I'm on a downward spiral in life. I said, you know, I'll go take 5 of her family members, then I'll shoot out with the police. It don't bother me. I said, but you might want to tell her that she better keep her emotions in check.
Yep. And so that's why I did that show. I see Charles and Mr. Really Doe. What they're saying, that your mother, sister, hell, your grandmother, your aunt, they'll all lead you wrong. It's really like they're setting you up for the kill. They don't even let you know what's really happening.
They don't care. No matter what, black women are going to stick together. That's why I call them the Sisterhood of Destruction, the SOD. Because they will rather stick together and throw you down the bus and down the drain, let you go down the drain, then tell you what's right or what's wrong. They're just not going to do it. My own sister, you know, she's operating a business right now. And when I try to tell her, I'm pretty sure her business is in the red, you know. She won't show me her books, you know, because I had 2 years of accounting in high school. She won't show me her books so I could, you know, run the numbers. But I'm pretty sure that she's operating in the red because she just has no idea. You know, she's already lost one business, you know, and I'm pretty sure that this one is going to be next. And all she would have to do is just listen to me, just take advice. And I'm not even charging her for it. But she would rather lose her business, lose her last business, and another source of income than to take advice from me.
Well, and so, right, the sisterhood will fatten you up for their own sons to get slaughtered. Exactly. Oh, man. So this blog talk is probably going to shut off in about 90 seconds. Because I'm not on the phone. Let me speak
to you. Off the heart.
Oh, yeah. Can you set the time on that like you do on the phone?
Actually, I think I might.
Hold on.
Because I think on a PC.
Where you at?
I think you should be able to go for like 5 hours, something like that, right?
South Sentinel. I'm in the lobby.
Oh, well, no, I just set it up for 30 minutes.
Oh, this is 50 Glen Lake.
Okay.
Yeah, I set it up for 30 minutes, so it's
hard.
It's, you know, it'll probably shut off. I mean, my phone is too unreliable, so I'll have another phone next week.
Yeah. Hopefully, Wayne will call back in because he's got some pretty interesting stories too, man.
Oh yeah, I contacted him. Yeah, I told him I wanted him to call in, so I think he will. That this will be a good show. I want to get.
Yeah.
You know, some of these cats who have a strong following on YouTube, because ultimately I want to see the conversations change.
Right.
So if they have a following, they can do that. So let's see what's going to happen. All right. So we're still in. You can still hear me, right?
Yeah.
All right, cool, cool. So as long as I'm in the show, it'll go over. It's overtime. It'll go. We've done this. Technically, my blog talk is set up to only go for 2 hours, and that's it. However, as long as I'm logged into the show, it'll go well beyond. It'll go. I've gone to 3 hours in the show, so I think that's the max.
Oh, you saw the breakup now. Did you change something? Are you running something else?
No, I think that the time ran out. That's probably why.
Okay, there it is. It's back straight now.
All right, okay. I was thinking the time ran out. Maybe that's what it was. But no, not at all. I'm still, it's probably just a bad, not a good connection. I bought a new router, so I have Wi-Fi, and I didn't have that for a while.
Okay.
My other router, it died some time ago. So that's helped me in a lot of different ways.
Okay, cool, cool. I got an all-in-one. I got a Motorola Surfboard, which is probably one of the best ones you can get.
But yeah, the router is streaming and all that stuff, so it should be. This should carry me through to do a lot of different stuff. And Charles was saying if her son is an athlete, man.
It's even worse. Oh, God, it's even worse.
He said the mother's going to consume him herself. And if you don't buy me a house, she's going to start talking. I went into labor pains, and I gave life to you. And like we talk about.
Well, you've seen the story I did of Trent Richardson, right?
Maybe.
Trent Richardson was a running back for the University of Alabama. He won the Heisman Trophy. I think he won it twice. I know he won it at least once. I think he won it twice. Won two national championships. Took the team there. Won the rushing title. Went number 3 in the draft. He got traded from the team that he got picked by because his mother kept showing up at practice asking him for money. She was a crackhead.
Wow.
Yeah, so she kept showing up at practice and creating such a disruption, and you know, she wouldn't stop until he left the field to go give her some money so she could go get hot. So the team got tired of it. So they traded him. So they traded him to the Indianapolis Colts. And the fucked up thing about that was they didn't even call him and tell him they did it. He found out because his cousin happened to be watching ESPN. And he's like, yo, congratulations. He's like, congratulations for what? He's like, you just got traded, man. He's like, you got traded. He's like, get the fuck out of here. Ain't nobody call me and tell me I got traded. He's like, you might want to turn the TV on.
Wow.
But yeah, and it was all because of his mother was a crackhead. And her crackhead boyfriend kept showing up at his practice and creating a disruption until he gave her money to go away. I mean, look at all these other players. There was one player who said, you know, Kwame Brown, you know, he said when he got drafted, you know, they were asking, you know, all the black guys in the room, you know, what's the first thing they were going to buy? And every last one of them said they were going to buy their mama a house. He said he asked the white guys what they were going to do.
Invest.
They were going to buy stocks.
Yep. Yep.
And I was like, damn. Well, and if you think about it, yeah, it makes sense because most white athletes, they come from a dual parent household. And that dual parent household, the father's already provided a house for a mother. So she doesn't need anything. Most of them have, you know, most of them are farmlands or have, you know, pretty big houses. They don't need another house. And they want him to invest his money in himself.
And also thinking long term, right? So invest the money.
Right. And that's
so
why most black athletes, within 5 years of retirement, they're flat broke. And I'm talking some that have made over nine figures. Kevin Garnett broke. Antoine Walker used to play for Boston Celtics. Won a championship. He was so broke that he actually had to work at McDonald's, and he was sleeping on his friend's couch in his one bedroom apartment. And this was a man that made like $90 million in his NBA career. And it within less than 5 years after he didn't really retire, nobody just picked him up. So he kind of fell off.
Can you see? This is what I was telling Richard. Money doesn't make you powerful. These cats can make 10, 20, 50, $100 million and have no power and be completely drained couch hopping. Money does not make you powerful.
And once their mamas drain them, they couldn't give two shits about their mental health, because that hurts them more than their physical health. You know, because you got to think about it. How depressed would you be for you to have, you know, several million dollars, and then, you know, you've worked your whole life for this. You've got several million dollars. You know, money is not, it's just something you're not worried about. And now here it is, you know, 3-4 years later, you're flat broke.
Yep, and your mother helped do it. And she helped.
And your mother helped do it.
Is what's his name? Mr. Real. He said they treated him like he was a slave.
They did. Well, I mean, to be honest, that's all the NFL and the NBA is, glorified slave trade. Was that you who said? You know, how do you convince, you know, somebody's biggest and strongest warriors not to fight for him? You throw him a ball.
The biggest, strongest warriors. Throw him a ball and
the biggest. Throw him a ball and they'll put down their swords.
Oh, no, I didn't say that. But all right, what I said. It's in that, just give them a job, right? Same thing, throw them a ball, tell them you're recruited. It's that joke of all those blacks up in Harlem were going to protest some government building, and they all set up, had their signs, and when they got there, someone opened the door and held out some paper and said, hey, we're hiring, we have some jobs. Everyone dropped their protest sign to go get a job. So the whole movement... So imagine you have, you know, 200 people protesting and a guy comes out with 10 jobs and everyone drops their protest. And, you know, only 10 of you are going to get hired.
Yeah, that's but you know what? That sounds like exactly what black people would do. I tell you what's really fucked. When you look at all this Black Lives Matter stuff and all the money it's insane the amount of money that is generated. And go look who's the money is going to. The money isn't even going to anybody black. It's going to a bunch of rich Jews. Bernie Sanders, I want to say he's got like $35 million for Black Lives Matter already.
They just used them, that's all.
Yeah. It's hilarious. Nancy Pelosi, she's got her hand in the pot. Go look at it. It's like I want to say it's like seven. Jeff Bezos, of course, but it's just a bunch of rich fucking Jews that are just making all this money off Black Lives Matter. So of course they want them out there protesting and being a disruption and burning shit down, you know, because they're reaping the benefits from it. Meanwhile, they're not using any of that money to change any of the policies that are directly affecting the people that are marching to give them that money.
Or even to create jobs, which is really what's needed. It's economics. Create some jobs.
Yeah, no. Now, they don't want to create any jobs because they want to make Trump look bad. So they're basically going to hold it. I'm thinking that something's going to have to happen. Because if you haven't noticed, every 4 years, the Democrats seem to do this shit. They seem to hold the country hostage until they get their way at election time.
Yeah. I think people are going to have to, at least for blacks around the world, including Africa, is start thinking about what industries you're going to own. Because that's how you're going to have economic and political power and be able to create jobs where you can pick up the phone and your cousin or your friend's cousin is an engineer and he wants to go into the mining business or manufacture, whatever it is, building bridges.
Right.
Black people don't have that power.
And I think also it's time for black people to move out of these cities and start moving into our rural areas and buying land and get back into farming and you know, and raising your own food. Because let me tell you this, well, when they had that government shutdown, it was last year, the amount of black women that were lined up outside the welfare office just because that check was one day late, it was ridiculous. And then when they shut it down for 30 days, it was almost 30 days, there were literally black women outside McDonald's begging people to buy food and stuff. And I'm like, damn, how is it that you don't have enough food in your house to last you 30 days and you're getting like $600 to $700 a month in food stamps?
Right.
$600 to $700 a month in food stamps. That's enough food to feed me for like half a year.
We never learned about money management, so. Just like the average person who wins a large lottery, they're worse off, so. They give them just enough money to squander, not enough to be dangerous and make their life worse.
A lot of them go broke not long after they get the money too. I think it's within 5 years. Because you know, of course, you know the women, that girl of your dream, she's gonna come out of the woodworks. You know.
Oh yeah.
There was one guy who did that, and all of a sudden, you know, this woman come out. You know, she's always been into him and blah, blah, blah. So he was stupid enough to marry her, and she just blew through the money. I mean, she was buying Corvettes every other month, Ferraris, you know, clothes and everything. Then when the money ran out, she hauled ass.
So
he actually had to end up going to get his job back.
One of the biggest problems with black men in relationships is they don't know they have the right to make demands of women. So women don't expect it. And when they do meet a man who makes demands, they don't know what the hell is going on. They're trying to figure out, why are you doing this? No one else does this. And Reggie was having a conversation with some woman in the group. She was a bona fide, like, a three. And she said, told Reggie that, it doesn't matter if you don't like me. There's always going to be some simp who will feed me. So
yeah,
as long as they understand that, there's no reason for them to have functional behavior. They can go on because there's always going to be some guy who will take care of them, and that's the problem. So if all men said, hey, that's enough, and it would have to be across the board. You know, what happens if you're a simp in Asia or the Middle East? I mean, does that mean life becomes rough? You don't get a job? You get your ass kicked? Like, somehow you have to have some kind of way to maintain order from your men, and you can't be expecting it from the women.
Right. Yeah, I think, you know, when it comes to us, you know, too many black men, they just put too much value on pussy. It's just,
that's the wrong P word.
Right.
The wrong P word.
They, I mean, just look at what they do. They brag to each other, you know, about how much pussy they get. Who gives a shit, you know? It's not like you're fucking virgins.
Exactly.
But that's their standard of measurement for their masculinity, for their manhood, is I've fucked more single mothers than you. How stupid is that? Not I fuck more virgins, but, you know, I fuck more single mothers. I fuck more broke women. You know, it's ridiculous. And until they stop valuing pussy so much and start valuing tangible shit, then nothing's ever going to change for them. They'll never be able to wield any power.
Right. And social media has enabled them, like Mr. Real was saying, is that it made low bottom fruit worthy, right? So women get on social media and get likes, so now all of a sudden they think they're hot, just like that Kevin Samuels, the woman is a bona fide like 4 or 5, and she thinks she's an 8. Like,
yeah.
That just seems insane. But what I was saying about how do Middle Eastern and Asian men handle it, is Charles was saying, men have to execute a fine line. Simpleton males violate male authority every time. So there has to be consequences for men also.
Yes.
For violating that.
Yes. Well, they'll stone a man or cane him.
Well, he'll never find a job.
Yeah.
It has to be a penalty.
The women is they actually outnumber us. You know, I would say that there's the ratio of sense to guys that think like you and I is probably, you know, you're talking probably like 6 or maybe 8 to 1. You know, maybe even higher.
That bad?
I think it may be worse than that. Because, I mean, just think about it. Barbershops, you know, you used to be able to go into a barbershop and just talk, have conversations like this. But now you can't because there's, number one, there's women in there. And number two, the men in there are so feminine that they get offended when you talk that way.
Like that dude, Sam, he told me that.
Yeah.
Men in the barbershops don't talk like me, and I'm not a real man, and blah, blah, blah. But, and yet, he used to be a pimp.
Yeah.
Hey, Charles said years ago, the simps will be killed and driven out of society. So you have to have economic power and control the job market. I mean, if you look at the oil industry, it's only about 9% of the jobs in the oil industry are taken by black men because they're not given the job. Hell, entry level job is making like $50 an hour. That's straight out of high school. So who are they going to give it to? Their brother, their cousin, their brother-in-law? And black men get frozen out of that. So you have to start owning those industries.
I'll tell you one of the biggest things, Ted, is these naval shipyards. They have these big, huge cranes that they use to lift these shipping containers on them. Do you know that those jobs pretty much get passed down from father to son? Nepotism runs so deep in that pretty much when a man starts that job, it's pretty much known that his son, when he gets ready to retire, his son is going to step in and fill his shoes.
But you have to
and
own
those
an
guys,
industry. You have to own industry.
Those guys make like,
do that
yeah. Same with the tugboat operators. You know, and all those guys are making like $250,000 a year.
I have a cousin who is a longshoreman, Charles. He stopped doing it. He traveled all over the world doing that. And now he drives trucks down in Atlanta. So,
yeah, longshoreman is another one.
Well, I don't think those jobs, longshoremen, are abundant as they used to be.
The word got out about them. So, yeah, they're kind of... kind of scarce, not as abundant as they used to be, yeah.
Well, and I think they also started hiring low-wage dudes from the Philippines and stuff like that.
No, what happened to them is women.
They started hiring women?
They started hiring women.
Wow. Wow.
And the sad thing is that those women don't realize what they signed up for. You know, they don't understand that, hey, you're going to go on the sea for like 9 months out of a year. And when I say go to sea, those ships, they literally go to sea. They might, you know, they might be out floating for about 3 to 4 months before they see land.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because they're supply ships.
Oh. So they could be supplying the military or anyone.
Yeah, that's exactly what they do. They pull up beside military ships and they supply them with like food and stuff like that. Food and medical supplies.
Wow. So they can just go from ship to ship to ship and just stay
out there. A lot of times before they fill up. Yep. They'll pull in port. I think usually after 90 days, I know they have to give them like a beer or something like that. Actually, there's civilians, so they might get beer every night. I don't know. But I think after like 90 days or something like that, they have to pull in and give them some short time. So they'll pull in for a couple of days, give them, you know, a couple of days off, let them go do some sightseeing, you know, get drunk, you know, go get them some foreign whores. And then after that, they'll get right back in the way.
Wow. Wow.
And that, matter of fact, that's how they make so much money, because while the ship is out at sea, they're getting paid for, I think they're getting paid for like a 12-hour day versus when that ship is tied up, they're only getting paid for 8 hours.
Really?
So, yeah, while the ship is out at sea, they're constantly getting overtime.
And they can't spend it also.
Right, they can't spend it. And once they cross that 39th parallel, it's all tax-free.
Get out of here, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, when I re-enlisted in the Navy, I made sure I waited till that ship crossed that 39th parallel, because my re-enlistment bonus was, it was 60 grand. So, you know, 30 up front. So, yep, I'm waiting till we cross that 39th parallel. So when we cross that 39th parallel, yeah, I do. Give me my 30 grand check now. Thank you.
Yeah, I want to ask Charles a question. Hey, Charles, what topics would you like to see me address? Also, Mr. Really Doe, same to you. Any topics you like to see me address in a video or do a podcast on? And Chris, I think I told you, if I had to show someone how I got into this show, I actually don't know. it worked. It happened. So I'll be retracing my steps somehow tomorrow, an hour before. Well, actually, I set up the show already. It's already set up.
I'm wondering, are they still here? They may have taken off.
Yeah, maybe they did. Yeah.
But yeah, I noticed the women haven't been participating in the group much anymore. Have you heard from my Gidget? I haven't heard from her in a while.
Yeah, she puts stuff in there every once in a while. There's a couple of new women, and some chick was bragging to me about how her boyfriend used to bring his check home to mama, give him all. He used to give her his entire check. And she said, well, apparently I was taking good care of him. I was doing all the right things, right? So, and I said to her, I said, black women don't understand the number one most tangible benefit they can bring to a man. And that's unfortunate. And she didn't respond after that. Because she doesn't know what it is. She thinks it's sex. So here we have two topics. One would be dating women internationally. And if you could decide to bring her to the States, is it worth it? So I'll answer that. Answer that. Probably not a good idea. So I lived abroad. I lived abroad for a number of years, and the last place I lived was Mexico, and I had a woman. She came to visit me three times from Mexico up here, and yeah, she was a good girl. She owned the business, so she wasn't poor. A lot of guys think they're going to get some woman from a lower socioeconomic class, and she's going to be grateful, and she's not. One of the biggest problems, and even Latinos, when they come up here and they work their butts off and they go get a girl from back home and bring her up here, that she's a good girl back home, and she comes up here, and in a matter of time, she's got women here whispering in her ear, telling her stuff. And I had a South American woman lived with me for 3 years. And one day she told me that she was told that if you live with a man for 90 days, he's responsible for taking care of you for the rest of your life. I told her to get out. I told her to get out. She's gone. Just leave. It worked out, but she figured out that she was lied to. So there are women here who are literally lying to women who come from other countries. And I think part of it is that they hate the idea that this foreign woman may actually be performing like a woman in her relationship with a man. And so I'm assuming there's some level of envy. Like they want to kill that off. That's
bingo.
My first thought, you know, I know guys who brought women here. I know you hear about Ethiopian women. You come home and she's gone. She went off to another state to live somewhere else. She just wanted to get here.
Same with Filipinos. Filipino women, you know, in the Philippines, you don't really get a divorce. They get an annulment, and usually the annulment is so expensive that once they get married, they like break up, but they're still legally, they're still married. So what happens, and this happened a lot in the Navy, a lot of those Navy guys would marry Filipino women, and after those women would get their citizenship, they'd come home
right
from work one day, and the house would be empty, and the bank account too. Now that she's got her citizenship, she's going back to the Philippines to find that husband and bring him and her kids, because she still got kids in the Philippines, bring them back over here.
Wow.
I remember one guy was telling that story, and I was in an indoctrination class when I first got to the ship, and this guy outranked me. You know, he was an E6 and I was an E4, and he was telling the story. He's like, yeah, I came home from work, and he's like, and everything was gone. He's like, the only thing that was left in the house was a pack of ramen noodles, and the only reason why that was still there, he said, because it was so high in the cabinet, she couldn't reach him. He said, that bitch didn't leave you a fork to eat them with. Man, I fell on the floor laughing. like right there in his face. I couldn't stop laughing.
That's just insane, man. So I think I can't prove this, but I think women only do what they know they can get away with. So there are some guys who they will do that to, and there are other guys who they think that would be a risk and they won't try it. So here's another one. Black love industry uncovered. How black men are being indoctrinated into cuckoldry. That's a good topic.
Yeah.
And the other one, can you love a woman and understand her, or is it one or the other? I'm going to do a video. I'm doing a little research about this whole idea of love, and I think it's going to be interesting.
That would be the perfect one, though. That would be the perfect one to do, because that might get the women to call in. Because, I don't know, you like the women to call in more, but, I don't know what it's going to take. Maybe this right here will make them. Maybe this format right here. They see YouTube, because they seem to want to call in everybody else's show. Maybe this right here, this type of format, will get them to call
right.
in and be more proactive.
What Charles said, Will and Jada brought cuckoldry to the mainstream. Yeah. And the whole thing with Will Smith, so that's a perfect example of women who say, I'll submit to you when you can protect and provide. You need to bring money. Dude's making millions, tens of millions of dollars a year. Maybe, I won't say hundreds, but let's just say he makes tens of millions of dollars a year. That's enough to live a really good life and be affluent. And still she cheated. Still.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. Will Smith hasn't been the man of his house for a long fucking time. I mean, just think about it. His son
dresses.
Was wearing dresses. And I'm sorry, but like, if my daddy ever seen me in a dress, I'm pretty sure he would not be okay with that. here's guy. And the funny thing about it was, the son was wearing more dresses than the daughter. And then he tried to get him, into acting. And he was able to get him into a major feature film. Matter of fact, they did a major feature film together. I forget the name of it. It was like, they were
really?
On like this alien planet. Yeah, they were on like this alien planet or whatever. But the son was so retarded that he actually worked backwards. Most music artists, they try to build up a name for themselves and then try to get themselves into Hollywood,
whether it
be on some daytime television or nighttime television show or into movies. This dumbass worked backwards. He went from, being in a major motion picture to want to be a rapper, and he wasn't even a good rapper.
Wow. Yeah.
And the whole time, Will Smith, instead of sitting down, and just being, raving about, say, look, you fucking up. He just encouraged him to just spiral downhill like this.
Well, so maybe this is a problem. So people repeat their childhood, right? So like someone said in this chat that mothers set their sons up, right, for to be killed. And so I'm making an assumption that Will was set up for exactly what he got. He could only do what he did. And that is often the result of what mothers set their sons up. I mean, we all get set up. We get told that women are made of sugar and spice and everything nice. I think I want to do a show on the how I saw that reality. I've been a side dude, married women who have boyfriends, living with boyfriends, all that stuff. And to see what women are really capable of, I was in a front row. You just have a very different perspective on all this stuff about women being made of sugar and spice and how innocent women are. And you see the real deal. I mean, if you're really paying attention, you've been watching your mother and your grandmother and your aunts. I mean, my aunts gave me a hell of an education with the men they dated, and they didn't realize they were educating me, but damn sure they were. So I think the younger guys are taking advantage of that education. So they're watching their mothers go through ugly divorces with their fathers, and they're just opting out of marriage. I was reading a Harvard Business Review article about, I think it was, it touched on life, work-life balance, and it was saying how these millennials told their wives, you can't have it all. Either you're going to be a mother or you're going to work, but you're not doing this. You know, I'm not coming home and cooking and cleaning the house. You're going to do that, or we're not having children. So you're not having it all. So these guys have taken a stand, and that's I think that's why MGTOW is spreading so easily with younger guys. And you even have the teenage guys now who, you know, I heard Kevin Samuels tell a guy that he was too young to know anything. And that's unfair to say, because these guys are watching their mothers and aunts and grandmothers and how they're dealing with men. And they're saying, I'm not going through that. So I think a lot of guys missed paying attention to their mothers and what was really happening. And their mothers downloaded so much nonsense into their heads, and all the things you're supposed to do for women, and how sugar and spice, and, you know, now you have these women out here, they're just opening their legs for a bag of chips or less.
Yeah, and like you said, the boys are seeing it, and they're also seeing how they have that, you know, one of their friends, you know, gets a girl pregnant, and, you know, he's in high school, and how he's having to give up. You know, he can't play video games with them no more. He can't go shoot ball with them no more. He can't be a kid anymore while she still gets to be a kid.
And that's, you know, see, that's the thing that men are going to have to come to grips on, that women don't really grow up. They get older. And a lot of people say, oh, you want to date younger women because they're easier to control and manipulate. Actually, it's easier to manage an older woman for a couple of reasons, right? So she's seen enough things, and she knows when she's out of line. But the biggest thing is, if a woman's over 45, she knows she doesn't have the options like a 25-year-old. A 23-year-old is like, I don't have to listen to you. I can just go to the next guy. Who cares? But a 45-year-old, well, not so fast. And if she's, when they hit 50, 55, it's a whole nother world. That then they'll negotiate. They'll go out of their way for you. It's a whole nother world.
Yeah.
So you can actually take advantage of the older women easier than the younger women.
Yeah, women in their 20s are like Ferraris. Everybody wants a fucking Ferrari. There's nobody who would turn down a Ferrari. But women in their 40s and 50s are like, you know, Oldsmobile Cutlasses. You know, some people just like Cutlasses. Some people say, yeah,
right.
You know, I'll take that Cutlass and, you know, I'll put some rims on it and, you know, V8 in it or something like that.
Well, the 442, right? You can get an old, you know, Oldsmobile. You know, it's still a powerhouse engine.
Yeah, they'll say, you know, I'll drop a 442 in it and, you know, I'll go to the drag strip with that Cutlass, you know. But, you know, I'll take the Cutlass. But, you know, most guys are, I want that. I'd rather have that fucking Ferrari, you know. And they'll fight each other for a fucking Ferrari. But, yeah, you're right. Older women, they don't have options. And that's why I say, you know, a woman is only as faithful as her options. Well,
exactly.
That 20-year-old woman, she has zero incentive to be faithful, because she has so many fucking options.
Right.
That 40, 50-year-old woman.
Yep.
Yeah, that 40, 50-year-old woman, she has more incentive to take your shit and be faithful, because she knows that it's either this or nothing.
And especially if she gets a good guy, she's She's like, yeah, let's rock this out. About 15 years ago, I met a woman. She must have been 50. And she told me she was just looking for a man who she could totally trust and just spend the rest of the next 50 years trusting and loving. And she said not even having to worry about trust. So, you know, the question is, why didn't you have that mentality at 20?
Yep.
Can you love a woman and understand her, or is it even? I want to deal with that, and I'm also going to talk about how whether or not women are as nurturing as we've given them credit to be.
That's the biggest lie.
Because not only if you look at abortion, that's one, right? Two, you know, if a woman has to wait until she's 50 to say, hey, I just really want to have a loving, trusting relationship, you have to wait until you're 50 to have that realization. And then the third one is the amount of abortions women get. How nurturing can you be if you just can kill someone just like that? A baby growing inside of you that you claim is a miracle, like life. And the other one is women, why is it the older women, and older could be 35, why aren't they going back to these 18-year-old, 15-year-old girls and saying, hey, this is a dead end. You might think that you can play with these men, but you're going to wake up and be 35, and the clock, the two-minute warning is going to be gone. If women cared, they would actually go back and say something, and they don't.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. They don't, because misery loves company. They don't want to see. They don't want to see that woman get something in life that they never were able to get.
Exactly.
Whereas men, as men, you always want to see the younger generation of men not face the same trials and tribulations you did. So you try to give them advice. You know, some take it, some don't, but you still try as men.
There's some science to that. There's some biochemistry to that. So I'm going to do a video about that. Still researching it. But there's more to it, and I think men need to understand that and be honest with themselves about it so that they can better manage how they deal with a woman and how they manage their feelings and their thoughts about women and expectations. So,
right. I think if you were to get down to the very basic, like the very basic bare bones gist of it, it's men want to see the young generation do better because we are the ones who keep the population going, you know?
Exactly. Right. Right. You don't have seeds.
Yeah,
you don't have a farm. You don't have trees. Acorns, you need acorns to have a forest, right, of oak trees.
Right. Right. So you always want to see that acorn turn into, sprout and get planted and turn into another tree to where it starts growing and thriving soon, because you know that one day, if that acorn doesn't sprout and grow into a tree and everything and drop more acorns, then that forest is going to die off.
Exactly.
But it's crazy. I think feminism is just. I think it's been around longer than we think. Like, think about it, because you know they say, you know, even back in the way back in the day, what's the number one lie they say? That prostitution is the world's oldest profession.
Right.
Well, think about that. If prostitution is the world's oldest profession, how the fuck did the man get money to give her to get her to spread her legs? And how did she, you know, how did she have a house to be able to sell her pussy in?
Maybe some of them were doing it in back alleys, man.
Okay, but even if they were doing it in the back alley, somebody still had to build that street, build that road.
Oh, no question. No question.
Somebody had to build the two buildings for an alley to be able to exist. So it's not the biggest profession. I think every, you know, platitude that has been given to women has been created by simps, and it's a false narrative.
Yep. So I'm gonna get ready to get out because I don't want to go into tomorrow and mess up my time for tomorrow's show. So
So, you got it working and everything's good, man.
Yeah, this is perfect. Thanks, man, for having the patience to walk me through my what I call technically challenged computers for dummies.
it's all good, man. I look forward to the show tomorrow.
All right, cool. Hey, guys who sat through this, I had no plans of chatting. It's been an hour and 21 minutes, so I was actually just doing a test with Chris, who you hear. That's the other person you hear here. We were just trying to make sure I could get Blog Talk Radio and YouTube to work at the same time and be able to hear. So you guys have been great being patient. Some really good comments, some great ideas. So I want to take these and do some shows and videos on that. The more feminine society you get, the more. Yep. Prostitution was mainstream, but went underground. Yeah, marriage. Marriage became legal prostitution. So anyway. Hey, guys, tomorrow at 7 o'clock, 7 to 9, I'm going to do a show, and I'm going to ask, are black men afraid of power? I really want to get to the root of all of this so that we can start eliminating many of these problems. So, hey, you're welcome, man. It was great having your feedback and comments. Tomorrow, join us tomorrow, man. We're going to do it the same way, exactly the same way. And I'm going to have a topic, and we're going to have some guys like Ramil, Amir, and some other people so many of you might know. So, look for us tomorrow, 7 o'clock. And, have a good evening, everyone. Talk to you later. Take care. Goodbye. Thanks, Chris. I'll talk to you later. Talk to you tomorrow.
Later, man.
All right. Bye.